question about it. He's good like
yes.
that.
Yes.
He'll be here tomorrow. And I'm glad. He is the beginning, and he's the end, and he's everything in between.
Right.
I'm thankful for a Lord that cares about me, cares about you, cares about every soul. And I'm thankful for the grace of God, aren't you?
Amen.
All right. Appreciate that. Appreciate that good song. Amen. All right. Brother Ben, you come on, preach for us tonight. Just pray for Brother Benjamin tonight as he comes.
It's good to see everybody out this evening.
Amen.
Come on. If you would, turn your Bibles to the book of John, chapter number 5. John, chapter number 5. We'll look in verse number, we'll begin in verse number 24. I've had a very heavy burden and thought on my mind since Brother Mark has asked me to preach. Last time I preached in this pulpit, this is what I wanted to preach. The Lord wouldn't let me, and this tonight He's given me the go-ahead. So please pray for me. I'm nervous and just I need your prayers. I want to give you what the Lord has given me. John chapter number 5, verse number 24 says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself, and hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming, in the which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice, shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. I can of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which hath sent me." Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for another evening that we can be in your house, Lord. I thank you for another time that we get to worship you, Lord. And I pray that you'll help me this evening. Lord, I pray that you'll let me be your vessel, Lord. And I pray that you'll speak through me, Lord. Lord, don't let my flesh be in the way of your word, Lord, but speak to these people, Lord. Lord, that soul that is lost, Lord, I pray that you'll bring them to salvation, Lord. Help us this evening, Lord. In your name I do pray. Amen. So tonight I want to preach on the hour is coming. The hour is coming. Verse 25 says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming." Christ lets us know that there is a future appointment that's going to arrive. Notice he does not say when this appointment will be, but we're told that it's coming. Christ tells us of the approaching appointment so that there could be preparation. It's like when I was younger, I remember after my brothers moved out of town that they would tell my mother, "Oh, well, I'm coming in this weekend." They wouldn't give her a time or anything, but she would wake up early that morning and she would start prepping. She would get the house ready for the arrival of my brothers. And what the Lord's wanting us to do is have that same preparation. Be prepared for His arrival. We don't know a day nor a time, but we know that it could be at any moment. So the best course of action is just to go ahead and get prepped. And I'm going to get more into a salvation message, but for the saved people tonight, I've had on my mind nothing that I've wrote down, but our preparation is really for the future generation and giving preparation to those others around us. I feel very sad to know that there are many, many parents who will allow their kids not to be in the house of God. And they call themselves saved, but they're saying that they want to prepare for Christ, but they are okay with not bringing their children to church on a regular basis. Sad to see that different families, that people we pray for, that we'll say we're praying for them and we're praying for them, but we're not trying to prepare them. We're not trying to give them the gospel. All we're doing is saying that we're praying for them. And praying gets you very far, but sometimes the Lord wants you to go out and give that gospel. This church is not going to grow. It's not going to have revival if we're not only preparing ourselves, but trying to prepare others. If we're not doing His will and working for Him, there's not going to be any revival in this church. But back to the message at hand. Verse number 25, it says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live." That verse right there, we see this. I'm thinking of this hour and thinking of prepping for this hour. And what if we're prepping for this hour, what does this hour entail? What do we see through these verses that shows us what this hour is? First thing I see right here is that it's an hour of renewing. Those dead shall receive life upon the reception of God's word and salvation. Verse number 25 says, "Now is." So that's signifying that this part of the verse is what's happening in the present. "Now is" shows the immediate present, what you're currently living and experiencing. "Now is when the dead shall hear." Those dead that are being referenced is talking about you and I. All the humans on this earth, those who are in the flesh, are dead. This body we have is ever decaying. Our flesh is full of sin, and therefore it is dead. And we know from Romans that the wages of sin is death. Our body is full of sinful flesh, and it's dead. "But now is when the dead shall hear the Son of God." So what does that tell us? That this time on earth, this time is the only opportunity there is to accept salvation. By that, I mean that this shows that there's no such thing as purgatory. There's no place that we're going to go before heaven or hell and get another opportunity after death. But we have one life to live, and it disappears like a vapor. I'm only 23 years old, and parts of my life feels like they were just yesterday. Thinking about, we're in election year, and right now, it's crazy to think that we're in election year because I feel like Obama's still president. It's just went by that fast in life. But with our life flashing before our eyes, and it's not long before it's over, on top of that, Christ has promised us that He could come back at any moment. Yet with our one opportunity at life, Christ offers eternal life over and over. Maybe every day or week, He is trying to deal with you, giving His word, trying to give you the greatest gift you will ever receive. But there's coming a time that gift, it's going to cease to be offered. Whether it's by you rejecting that gift, by the rapture happening, or by death. But those who have accepted Christ, there's an hour of renewing. An hour of renewing is coming toward us. Eternal life, no pain, no sorrow. Our family, the streets of gold, paradise beyond imagination, and our Lord Jesus Christ. that hour of renewing is coming where Christ the Lord and Creator is going to reward us. No greater honor could ever be retained. We're coming toward that hour of renewing. Down in verse number 27, it says, "And hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man." It's given him, Lord, or God has given him, Christ, the authority to execute judgment. So what I see right here is that not only will there be an hour of renewal, but there will also be an hour of reckoning. If you would turn your Bibles to the book of Revelations, chapter number 20, number 1. It says, "And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit, and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil, and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years, and cast him into the bottomless pit, and shut him up, and set a seal upon him, that he should deceive the nations no more till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled. After that, he must be loosed a little season. And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and the judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead lived not again until 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. When 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison, and shall go out to deceive the nations which are in four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. And they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about and the beloved city, and fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. And the devil that deceived them was cast in a lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. And I saw a great white throne judgment, great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. I saw the dead, small and great, and stand before God, and the books were open, and another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works." So we see right here, he has power to give, he has the authority to execute judgment, and that's what's happening right here, and this is known as the Great White Throne Judgment. Verse number 13 says, "And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and the death and the hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." So in Revelation chapter 20, we're seeing an hour, this approaching hour of reckoning. It's being prophesied right here by John, and he's seeing that those that are dead in the flesh, those that are not saved, those who have not been found in the book of life, they're going to get the same treatment that the devil himself is going to get. Those who do not accept Christ will have to stand before Christ and receive their judgment. This great white throne judgment is where any lost person is going to be cast into the lake of fire with the devil and his angels. A place created for Satan, and also becomes home to those who reject Christ. Just as the saved will have eternal life, those who do not accept Christ will receive eternal death. Just thinking about this lake of fire, you can think about swimming in lava is basically what it's going to be, feeling that pain, but the pain's never going to stop. those saved will receive a new body, but the lost will stay with the body we have now, a body that screams at the touch of a flame. I mean, I have a burn right here, and it's just from me touching a burner at Chick-fil-A for like a half second, and that burned my flesh off. So you can just imagine how the body is going to be burning and melting off from being in this lake of fire. And the story of the rich man and Lazarus, the rich man was in such pain that he asked for just a small drop of water. He's in such a pain that he desired just 1 second of cooling on a small part of himself. Just a second to quench his thirst. That's not even a second of peace within hell. There's not even a second of peace within hell. Nothing can help you once you're there. There's no between world where you can change your fate. If you do not accept Christ as your Savior in this life, you're going to find yourself in hell. There's a free gift for all that can save you from this place. You need to repent and receive that salvation. Back in John chapter number 5, we'll see the last hour that is approaching. Pretty self-explanatory in verse number 28 and 29. It says, "Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in that which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice, and shall come forth that they have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation." So lastly, we see that there is an hour of resurrection. There's two resurrections here that are mentioned, and they're explained further in Revelation chapter 20, which we just read. Revelation 20 verse 4 says that those who are saved will be living with Christ and reigning with him for a millennia. There's an hour coming which no man knows other than the Father, but he told us that he's preparing a place for us. That if he's preparing a place for us, that he will come again. There's signs of his return approaching, but we don't know when it's going to be. Those saved will be called up, and those lost will be left behind. Parents whose children are called up, spouses called up, family called up, co-workers called up, and the sad reality is if you're lost, you're going to be left here alone. Sad reality is everyone that you love may go up to heaven and you'll be left here without a way to get to heaven. But Christ, but God, he's made a way to avoid the resurrection of the damned. As I said just a few minutes ago, repent and receive salvation. In 2 Peter chapter number 3, 2 Peter chapter number 3, verse 9 and 10, it says, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us, we're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up." He doesn't want anyone to perish. The hour of resurrection could come out any moment. Christ is coming, but our Lord is providing grace toward the sinner, wanting all to come to repentance. This world makes our God out to be evil and full of anger, but God has an incredible compassion to be long-suffering. He is not willing that any should perish, but there are many that will perish. But all perish because of their own will. God has given his creation a free will, which allows for rejection of him. Man has free will to sin. There is a free will for those people to do what is not natural. As Titus said this morning, I believe it was him, saying that man is just doing what they think is best, basically. I mean, you look out in this world, these abominations of homosexuality and transgenders and whatever it may be, it's because God gave man a free will. Any sin, no matter how great or small, happens because God gave man a free will, and he gave free will so that man would choose him and live for him. Those who live in sin, they can expect the hour of reckoning. But God wants you to be saved, but if you choose to live in sin, you can count on being in hell. There's a man at my work, and I won't say his name because y'all might know him, but he's a homosexual, and he's been confronted about his sin before because he grew up in church. He knows it's wrong, and he said, "Yes, I know it's wrong, but I'd rather have this sin for pleasure than go to heaven. I know I'm going to hell, but I'd rather have this." That right there is that free will enacting. He has made his choice, laughing in the face of God. In Galatians chapter number 6, verse number 7 and 8, it says, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall also of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall the Spirit reap life everlasting." You can do what you want on this earth, but you're either going to go to heaven or hell depending on what you do. So here's the choice. Do you choose life through Christ, or do you choose death through rejection of Christ? You might say, "Well, preacher, I have to stop drinking. I have to cut my hair, or I will have to change the way that I live, or I'll have to separate myself from certain people." What I say to that is, do you really care about those things more than your life? That word eternal, it means never ending. Hell is not a joke. This ain't a laughing matter. Christ is throwing you a lifeline, because eternity in hell means eternal suffering. Tonight, you could die before you ever make it home today. To that I ask, where are you going if that happens? What are you choosing tonight? John chapter 3, verse 16 and 17, very familiar. John chapter 3, verse 16 and 17 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." Romans chapter number 6, verse 9 through 12 says, "Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal body, but ye should obey in the lust thereof. Neither yield yourselves your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God." Romans chapter number 8, verse 7 and 8 says, "Because the carnal mind is at enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God." Romans chapter number 10, I'm trying to lead you down this Romans road. Romans chapter number 10, verse number 9 says that, "If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed, for there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, The same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Through that, you see that as a sinner, you cannot make it to heaven. There's only one way you can get to heaven, and that is through Jesus Christ. And you do that by faith in him and confessing on him. But why, to give you a little bit more of why you should want to be saved, let's look at Revelations chapter 20 again, verse number 6. Revelations chapter number 20, verse number 6 says, "Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. So it tells us that those who partake in the first resurrection are blessed and holy. Why is he so blessed? Four things I want to take from, or five things real quick, of why they are so blessed. What the saved man receives after salvation. 1 Peter chapter number 2. I know I'm all over the place, but 1 Peter chapter number 2, verse number 24 says, "Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed." The saved receive healing. Not only that, 1 Peter chapter number 1, verse number 8 and 9 says, "Whom having not seen ye love, in whom though now ye seen him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls." So the saved receive happiness. Titus chapter number 3, verse number 5, it says, "Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed us on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by his grace we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life." The saved receive hope. James chapter number 5. James chapter number 5, verse number 7 and 8. James chapter number 5, verse number 7 and 8 says, "Be patient therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it until he receive the early and latter rain. Be ye also patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh." So the saved receive a husbandman. But lastly, as I mentioned before in John chapter number 14, John chapter number 14, verses 1 through 3, says, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Lastly, the saved receive a home. They receive healing, happiness, hope, a husbandman, and a home. That's all I have for this evening. I pray, I get a piano player. I pray that this message might have some conviction set in. That lost sinner that might be here this evening that really needs Christ. There's coming a soon time. It's going to be soon. Every sign points to that. He's coming soon.